Radio Prague News.
The family of a dead Romanian Roma prince have reportedly refused a Prague City Council offer to help transport his body home. Czech power giant ČEZ has launched a tender for two new reactors at the Temelin site. Sparta Prague are seeking to secure their hopes of a place in the Champions League. The family of a Romanian Roma boy who died in a Prague hospital on Monday has turned down a Prague City Hall offer to transport his body home for burial, according to some media reports. The family of the 17-year-old, said to be a prince of an extended Roma family, said on Tuesday they could come up with the money, although they had earlier appealed for help. The boy died following a drowning accident which left him in a coma. Many members of the large family came to Prague to be by his bedside as he fought for his life. The cost for a funeral company to transport the body to Romania is estimated at around 90,000 crowns. Czech electricity giant ČEZ has launched a tender to double the size of the existing Temelin nuclear power plant. Firms have been invited to bid for the contract worth hundreds of billions of crowns by the end of October. The winner is not likely to be declared until 2 or 3 years down the line, with the two new nuclear reactors likely to take around 15 years to prepare and build. The tender has been launched although the government has not cleared the extension of the controversial power plant, an environmental impact assessment has not been delivered for such plants, and the state's revision of its energy programme is still not finalised. Czech unemployment climbed in the second quarter of the year to an average 7.9%, according to figures released by the Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs on Tuesday. That is a jump from the 5.2% in the same period of 2008. Around 45,000 more people joined the jobless total in the second quarter compared with the first 3 months of the year, but the pace of rising unemployment is slowing down compared with the previous quarter. Sparta Prague take to the pitch in Athens on Tuesday evening, seeking to book their place in the next qualifying round for the Champions League. Sparta have a 3-1 lead from the first home leg of the third round qualifier against Panathinaikos. If Sparta win, they face one more round before getting into the group stage of the Champions League. The weather: showers are set to give way to sunny weather with maximum daytime temperatures rising to 26 degrees Celsius. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, broadcasting from the Czech capital, with me, Rosie Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, a sad end to the story of a Roma prince who's died after a swimming accident near Prague. An inspection of this country's tanning salons exposes dangerous security breaches. And Tuzamac, this country's most popular liqueur, goes on sale in Canada. Then later, what's to be done to stop foreign film producers from deserting the Czech Republic?
We're making films now in other places. We have to. We started here and this is where we want to make our films, but we're shooting two now in Budapest because we can't justify shooting them here.
All that's coming up, so stay tuned. There was a sad end to the story of a Romani prince from Romania on Monday when the 17-year-old boy died at Prague's Vinohrady Hospital. The boy, heir to the throne of a Romani Olach clan, spent 2 weeks on a life support machine after almost drowning in a lake near Prague. Czech officials seemed at a loss on how to deal with the dozens of relatives who descended on Prague to be near him, and there's now some confusion over who will pay for his body to be returned to his homeland. Rob Cameron joins me now in the studio. So, Rob, first of all, please, can you remind us about how this unfortunate story all started?
Well, Rosie, it started with a swimming accident on July the 22nd in a lake near the town of Stará Boleslav, just north of Prague. The boy spent a very long time, up to 20 minutes, according to some reports, underwater. So, obviously, he suffered severe internal injuries and had been in a critical condition ever since. And according to Roma tradition, dozens of relatives and members of the extended Romanian clan came from all over Europe to be near him. Originally, they camped out in front of Vinohrady Hospital itself, but they were then persuaded to move to a campsite and then spent several nights in various locations around Prague to the barely disguised displeasure of the local mayors of those locations, one of whom even said that the police should simply send them back to Romania. Now, he had been reported to be breathing on his own at times, suggesting that he was making some recovery, but he did remain hooked up to a life support machine, and then there were later reports that his kidneys had failed, obviously very bad news, and finally it seems that he died in the end from a brain seizure.
All right, and even in death, as in life, as it were, the Romany Prince is proving controversial. Why is that exactly?
Well, a number of reasons. For a start, it seems that he wasn't insured in Romania. So even though the Romania and the Czech Republic are both EU countries, the hospital will have to recover the funds themselves. And that's a lot of money, estimated at between $4,000 and $5,000 per day for 2 weeks, remember. The second thing is the cost of returning his body to Romania. Originally, apparently, the Romanis wanted to bring the body back themselves, but they were informed that this wasn't possible. And the only way, it seems, is using a special hearse provided by a Czech firm of undertakers, and that involves a lot of paperwork from the hospital, the Romanian embassy, and, of course, customs. And, of course, it's very expensive, something in the region of $5,000.
And who is expected to pay for his body to be returned, do you think?
Well, that's where it gets tricky. Initially, there were reports that the boy's family said that they only had around $1,000 and they were asking for help. That was when the mayor of Prague, Pavel Bem, stepped in, the city hall spokeswoman saying that the Prague city authorities would pay for it. And incidentally, that wasn't due to any great generosity on their part. According to Czech TV, they simply wanted to pay for it because it was cheaper than the cost of stationing, you know, teams of police officers outside the hospital and elsewhere to monitor the groups of Romanis.
So does that mean, in that case, that it's going to be Prague that pays?
Well, that's not clear, because there are now reports that A, the Romanian embassy has said that the family told them they did have enough money, and since then we've heard other reports that the family has declined Prague's offer to pay for it and will pay themselves. We do know, though, that at least some of the costs, about €1,000, will be paid by a Czech men's magazine called Maxim. The editor-in-chief was quoted as saying that Czech society was full of xenophobia and racism, and he wanted to show society that in death, and not only in death, we're all united, regardless of race. And I think that's, although it's a rather unexpected turn, I think it's proof that this whole story, with its, you know, images of Romanian Romani women in headscarves camped out in the streets of Prague, has fueled a real debate of just how tolerant or intolerant Czech society is to outsiders who find themselves at the centre of a very human tragedy.
All right, Rob Cameron, thank you very much. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Radio Prague, where later we'll be looking at what can be done to halt the exodus of foreign film productions from the Czech Republic. That's a bit later, but first it's to news that the Czech Trade Inspectorate has revealed the results of testing at Czech tanning salons, which some will find more than a little disquieting. A week after the World Health Organization declared the use of tanning beds a significant cancer risk, the Czech Trade Inspectorate revealed that tanning beds in 8 out of 10 facilities in parts of the Czech Republic failed to meet current safety norms. Jan Dellinger has the details.
Thousands of people use them and thousands swear by them. Indoor tanning at solariums. Overall, indoor tanning remains highly popular in the Czech Republic, but now some may want to rethink the frequency of their visits. Only a week ago, the World Health Organization's International Agency for Research on Cancer announced it had raised tanning beds to its highest cancer risk category, carcinogenic to humans. And if that wasn't enough, the Czech Trade Inspectorate announced on Monday that it had found that 8 out of 10 randomly tested solariums in the country had failed to comply with safety norms, with some tanning beds at a number of facilities emitting 3 times the permitted level of UV radiation. The inspectorate's Jana Přihodová spoke to journalists on Monday.
At this point in time, we can say that although safety norms on UV rays were tightened, some facilities still represent a certain risk to users.
In general, the risk of contracting melanoma from direct exposure to UV rays through indoor tanning rises drastically for those under the age of 30, 75%, experts warn. One reason why Czech doctors have been calling for a ban blocking those under the age of 18 from using tanning salons. Furthermore, Czech specialists would like to see facilities required to put up clear warnings for users, describing proper use as well as potential risks. On Monday, Jana Hercegová of the dermatology clinic at Prague's Bulovka Hospital spoke to Czech TV.
The main thing is to inform people how to use these facilities. If they have to use solariums, they should know what they should be aware of and know what they should look out for.
The solariums in the Czech Republic that failed to meet safety norms will now have to make changes to comply with regulations or face fines. Further, the Czech Trade Inspectorate has made clear this test was only the beginning, and its inspectors are planning to visit 100 or so additional solariums this fall.
Jan Wellinger with that report. And in light of scientists' strongest statements yet that sunbeds cause cancer, write to us with what you think about this subject. Should regulations be tightened on this country's tanning salons? And should a number of them be shut down? And what's it like in your country? Send us an email at english@radio.cz or write to us at Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic with your views. But now on to matters somewhat more liquid. Forget Becherovka or even Slivovice. It's Czech rum, Tuzemak, which is the biggest selling spirit in this country. Despite its popularity here, however, the drink remains virtually unknown abroad. Now, though, one South Bohemian distillery has started selling its product in North America and is hoping that Canadians will develop a taste for Tuzemak as well. Earlier today, I spoke to Tomáš Petru from the Fruko Schultz distillery and started by asking him what the difference was between Tuzemak and better-known rums from the Caribbean.
The main difference is in production technology, because we produce our Czech Tuzemak from sugar beet spirit, but, for example, Bacardi, you produce, or in Caribbean, they produce in from sugar cane spirit. So this is the main difference. It is basically the difference of the raw material, and the raw material gives another color.
Is there a difference in taste? I mean, what is that difference?
Actually, the taste, it is hard to describe. You have to taste it. The taste of Czech Tuzemak, it is lightly sweet with cinnamon and caramel addition.
Can we call Tuzemak a Czech speciality? Is it only in this country that it's made?
For sure. Tuzemak, it is a very, very Czech speciality. Also, it is known in the Slovak Republic, because Czechoslovakia was a long, long time one country. And also, in the Central Europe, you can find also some producers, for example, in Austria. They produce Stroh rum, and this they call it rum, and it is also on the base of Tuzemak, so it is very similar alcohol.
Now, you're exporting this Tuzemak to Canada as of this August. Who are you exporting it there for? Is it predominantly for the Czech population who live in Canada, or are you also thinking that this will appeal to other Canadians' palates as well?
Actually, I would be happy if other Canadians will like it. My first try was really focused on the Czech community, which lives there. Also, the quantity was quite low. It is the first try to focus on the people who live there, who know the product, who know the taste, and I hope they will find the product on the shelves of the liquor shops, and they will buy it, and they will bring it also with, among their Canadian friends, and they will drink it together, and also the Canadians will like it.
As you yourself just said, the first, I suppose, batch of Tuzemak that has been exported to Canada is really pretty small, but still you're saying that this has been a great success. I mean, in what sense is this a success?
For European liquor company, it is quite complicated to get on the North American food market, because if you produce a spirit, you have to register your product in a commission or liquor commission, and they have to approve the product, they have to taste the product, they have to check the composition of the product. So that's a thing which is complicated for me and why I consider it as a success, that I passed the registration procedures and I got the product on the market.
That was Tomáš Petru from the Fruko Schultz Distillery talking about his plans to conquer the new world with good old Český Tuzemak. Now, in the last part of our show today here on Radio Prague, it's time for this week's Talking Point, which sees Chris Johnstone looking into the issue of film funding in the Czech Republic.
I hope our little game isn't causing you to perspire.
It doesn't bother you, killing those people.
Well, I wouldn't be very good at my job if it did. How's our girl? Melted your cold heart yet? James,
get the girl out.
You're not going to let me in there. You've got your armor back on.
I have no armor left. You've stripped it from me.
That was a trailer from the 2006 James Bond remake Casino Royale. The film was mainly shot at Prague's famous Barrandov Studios and used Prague and Karlovy Vary as a backdrop for many scenes. But Casino Royale is one of a dwindling number of blockbusters which have recently come to the Czech Republic. Revenues from foreign films have tumbled in recent years. That has put the spotlight on whether the government should fall into line with other countries and provide incentives for bringing them back. Ludmila Klausova is head of the Czech Film Commission, one of whose main tasks is to bring foreign filmmakers to the country. She charts the slide in international film production revenues in the Czech Republic.
If we compare it with one of the good years, which was 2002 or 2003, where foreign films spent around 5 billion Czech crowns, in year 2008 it was only 700 million, so it's a drop of 86% over 5 years, you know, between 2003 and 2008. So it's really critical.
This year looks as though it will be just as bad as 2008, or even worse. Klausova says she only knows of one major foreign film being produced in the country this year. The causes for the slump are varied. For one thing, the Czech film industry has lost its shine because of the rocketing advance in the value of the crown against the dollar, the international currency of the silver screen. Added to that are the recession and tight financing for making films. But the world has also moved on since the Czech heyday. Many countries around the world have got wise to the fact that the film business is very mobile and can set up wherever the local know-how is, and conditions as well as financial incentives are attractive. As regards incentives, Mrs. Klausova says the Czech Republic has not been following the industry plot.
It's business and it needs support because the conditions abroad, the conditions around the Czech Republic, they changed. Everybody introduced incentives. Czech Republic doesn't, and now the Czech film industry can't help itself.
Everywhere that pretends to be anywhere for the film business now offers incentives to bring in the foreign film crews, apart from the Czech Republic.
Germany, UK offer incentives, but France introduced them. You know, those are countries with developed film infrastructure. They do. In the US, I don't know, almost 40 states of the union offer incentives. In Canada, the regions or the states again, in Australia, are different regional and federal incentives, New Zealand, South Africa.
Poland, Ukraine and Slovenia are also looking at bringing in film incentives. These are not countries that have grabbed the international film limelight in the past, but neither did one of the new star locations, Hungary, before it got its incentives act together. The relative newcomer has now elbowed out the Czech Republic to grab a large part of the foreign film action thanks to incentives. At the strange mixture of modern offices, 20th century concrete blocks and wooden shacks that makes up Prague's Barrandov studio complex, high above the capital, Matthew Stillman, the founder and boss of Stilking Films, confirms the current gloomy situation for the Czech industry. Stilking handles around 70% of foreign productions in the country.
This year we will have done two Japanese films, a TV series for Fox and a TV series for NBC. So there's not actually English language feature film that we're doing this year. It's TV and foreign language films. And they paper over the cracks of what is a more serious situation, which those projects can also go to other places. It's just that they're a little slower to see some of the benefits or to be able to take advantage of them.
Stillman says the Czech side of the business is just about ticking over with this and the shooting of ads, which are unaffected by the competition skewing film incentives. In fact, Still King Films, in spite of its Czech roots and the fact it's still based in Prague, has taken a leaf out of the page of the competition. It has been forced to follow the rest of the film business out of the country.
We're making films now in other places. We have to. We started here, and this is where we want to make our films, but we're shooting two now in Budapest because we can't justify shooting them here, or the finances won't finance them to shoot here. So more the latter. So we're forced to look for other avenues and other places to produce.
Mr. Stillman's stark analysis is that the local film industry will not survive as an international player without incentives that match what other countries are offering. He says the current signs of contraction are alarming.
There's a brain drain either to other industries in the Czech Republic or just out of employment in the Czech Republic, or to other countries that are making the productions, that are doing the productions. So there's a very, very skilled Czech labour force in film production that's perhaps there's only one or other two places in the world that can rival that. Those people are either being lost to other businesses or lost to employment, or they're leaving the country.
At the same time, the spin-off advantages of hosting an international film business are also being lost. For every crown or dollar spent directly, it's estimated conservatively that at least another crown or dollar is pumped indirectly into the local economy as well. There is also the more intangible bonus of the international prestige stemming from having a city or country as the backdrop of a major blockbuster. The Czech Film Commission's Klausova says this argument, especially for a city like Prague, which wants to be an international draw for tourists, seems to have fallen on deaf ears.
They don't understand the connection between film and tourism. And I have seen all around the world, they are always like film and tourism conferences and people talk about it, and there are millions of examples how a film or even TV series raise, you know, the tourism in one region or one city, or, you know, I have examples for this, but somehow it's really here. They are not as developed as the countries in the West, somehow, with this sort of thinking.
The good news for the film industry is that the two main Czech political parties and the current caretaker government now appear to be taking the film industry's plight seriously. The Ministry of Culture is drawing up a draft proposal for a film incentive program which should be put before the government for approval in September. Mr. Stillman, who has contributed to drawing up the proposal, prefers the term rebates because a proportion of film industry spending already incurred is refunded, so there is no actual government money up front. Culture Ministry officials should meet with colleagues from the Finance Ministry this week to try and square any last-minute problems. The Ministry of Finance is seeking guarantees that there will be a ceiling on the government funds that might be spent. As it is, the proposal, which is likely to borrow heavily from that existing in Hungary, together with elements from the similar British and German programmes, is a fairly modest one. It seeks to offer incentives or rebates on 20% of local film production for 2010 only, as a sort of emergency measure. Once the dust has settled on October's elections, it's hoped the incentives could be put on a firmer legislative basis. Here, both the right-wing Civic Democrats and left-wing Social Democrats are now making positive noises about incentives for the film industry. For the Civic Democrats in particular, this is definitely a turnaround. Incentives seemed in the past to be a dirty word in their vocabulary. Mr. Stillman says a properly framed incentives programme will at least stop the Czech Republic slipping further down the ranking of international film locations. The Film Commission's Klausova argues it could be the prelude to a comeback.
If we can compete, we will get part of the business back. This is quite okay. I can say it's quite sure, but yeah, I think it is. They still know about the quality and the crews they can find here. It's not that the producers forgot about Prague.
Ludmila Klosova ending that edition of Talking Point by Chris Johnstone, and indeed our show today here on Radio Prague. Just before I go, let me direct your attention to our website, where you can find everything you've heard today again in both text and audio format, and plenty of other things that you might have missed out on over the past couple of months as well. So go to www.radio.cz for a comprehensive archive of all of our features and indeed all things Czech. And if you want to write to us with any comments about anything you've heard in today's show, then you can. The address for emails is english@radio.cz, and the postal address is Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. But for now, that's all from me, Rosie Johnston, and the rest of the team here in Prague. So thanks for listening, and goodbye.